on Navasota News. This is a broadcast of last week's Navasota School Board Candidate Forum, sponsored by the Navasota Grimes County Chamber of Commerce. Every candidate was instructed beforehand to compose a difficult question for each of the other candidates to answer. And here once again is forum moderator Richard Grimes to ask them.
Let me ask the question that Jennifer Ramirez brought us. And we'll start, I guess. Marilyn, are you comfortable with starting off?
Sure.
We are a failing district. What specific actions have you taken to improve academics at NISD?
Well, one of the things in particular was to decrease the class sizes. That has been an issue, and it's been happening over several years. A child learns the basics, learns to read in grade one, and as over the years our first grade classes have increasingly become larger, our scores have likewise begun to decline. So we have taken action to reduce the class size from 22 or more to 18-1 for pre-K through 3. We're still looking at the possibilities of grades 4 and 5. That's a budgeting issue, and we are just now starting to consider our budget issues and how what we can do. So I think that's the most important step that we have taken at this time, is to ensure that the class sizes at the pre-K through 3 grades are smaller.
Okay, thank you. And I think her question was directed at the incumbents that are here this evening, so I'll modify this slightly for those that aren't the incumbents and are challenging. And we'll go to Mr. McGinney next. We're a failing district. What specific actions would you take to improve academics at NISD?
Well, for one, I would work with other board members to bring our school district to our 21st century beliefs and get away from 1900 beliefs. We will work on reducing teacher administrative turnover, establish a curriculum from grades K through 12, also build a parent-teacher relationship, also parent-student relationship, get the teachers more interactive instead of just laying instructions on the desk and saying this is what you do. Getting our teachers more involved. And next, we have to work on our communication between teacher and parents, teacher and administrator. And those are some of the things that I would do.
Okay. And next, Mark, Greg, would you like me to reread the question?
If you don't mind, please.
I do not. We're a failing district. What specific actions would you take to improve academics at NISD?
First of all, Marilyn's right. We got to have the smaller school size, class sizes, and that's something that has not been happening. So we need to go forward and make sure that that does happen. The three first grade classes at High Point this year started out with 24 kids each. We should have taken some care of that back in August. But going forward, we've got to do that. Another thing is we've bought into this whole engaged learning thing, and it's been forced on every teacher that had to take this. We've actually lost excellent teachers like Jeff Fletcher because of this. We don't need to force teachers to use a tool. PBL is a tool. I'm not against using PBL, but we can't be in a situation where we're forcing those kids, those teachers, to teach in a certain manner that they're not comfortable with. I've heard about the rollout wasn't proper and all that. RSVP was a $1 million grant. We spent a lot of money on doing this. How can we possibly have had a bad rollout spending that much money in training? These teachers were sent all over. They went to Florida. They went to Corpus Christi. I tell you, there was a lot of money spent on this, and for the money that we spent, it was a horrible rollout. I don't think it's a rollout. I think it's the whole program. So let's get away from forcing our teachers to teach in a certain way and let them have the flexibility to use PBL or whatever they're comfortable with.
All right, since we're focusing on the position 6 candidates first, I just happened to draw Mark McGinney's question next, so we won't ask you your own question. But we'll start with Greg, if you would. The current school board is not reflective of Navasota's diverse community. As a result, many minority parents and students feel that their needs are not being met or represented. As a board member, how do you plan on bridging the gap and bringing a diverse staff into our schools?
Well, I think we've already seen that, but there's other ways to improve as well. We've got some really good people in administrative roles, and I think that's what we need to do. We really missed out on a good one with Nikki Robinson. We could have had her as an associate principal right there at Navasota, and we passed over her. I don't know why. But Nikki would have been a perfect person to have in that spot. I know her well. She has a good rapport with all the kids, and she would have been one. She's respected by all the kids, and she's a great teacher. So that's one. We've got to make sure that we're making those decisions based on your administrative decisions, based on sound judgment, not on who's your friend. Thanks.
Okay. Marilyn, I'll ask you the same question. I'll reread this for you. The current school board is not reflective of Navasota's diverse community. As a result, many minority parents and students feel that their needs are not being met or represented. As a board member, how do you plan on bridging the gap and bringing a diverse staff into our schools?
Well, first I would say I have worked in a minority school before, and I understand that some of the issues are different. So I think we have to be more open to the needs, the things that the students bring. We have to develop a relationship with our parents. As Greg was saying, one of the things we have just done is to hire Amy Bay Witherax, I believe is the correct pronunciation, as a principal for one of the pre-K through 5 schools. I think that was an excellent step in the right direction to begin to say, whoa, we need to meet the needs of all of our students, and we must find qualified people to step into those roles.
All right. Thank you. We'll move next to a question presented by Jenny Fultz, and we'll start with Mr. McGinney. In what 3 ways have you been a part of a positive solution to the district's problems?
3 ways. As far as one, I've become part of our mentoring group, Boys Men Mentoring Group, that is affiliated with some of the schools administrated. And in doing that, we go to the school, we meet with kids and find out the problems and see if we can come up with a solution. Also, my involvement in outside the school in the community, where I have hands-on experience with parents and teachers. And parents and students that are part of NISD. And with those, I take my time also with the help of others to help 2 of those that may need help in whatever subject or matter that they have at hand. And also with my different organizations where I took time to organized fundraisers to help those young men that want to live their life dream and couldn't afford it, you know, this past season, live their dream by receiving the ring, help and offsetting the cost in that. That's been my involvement this year.
Okay. Greg, you're next. And what 3 ways have you been a part of a positive solution to the district's problems?
Well, specifically, I've been going to school board meetings, been attending for at least the last year and a half. I've made almost every meeting. But I've been going even before that. So that's one thing. Secondly, a group of parents and I brought enough pressure that the PBL was dropped. Engaged learning was dropped from the way it was being taught at junior high. There was a young parent that I met at a forum a while back. She stood up with her child. She took her child out of 6th grade because she just said that her child was not learning anything. And we brought enough pressure that I talked to Mr. Lester, and he allowed those teachers to step away from engaged learning and using PBL. So that's the ways, those are the ways that I see. plan on addressing this from here on out. We're gonna have to step up and make sure these things are getting done right.
All right. Thank you. Marilyn, in what three ways have you been a part of a positive solution to the district's problems?
I'm not sure I could limit it to three. I will tell you that as a board member, I have felt that it is my responsibility to be in the schools, to see what's going on at various times. And because I'm a part of the retired teachers group, we had to turn in our service hours, our volunteer hours. And so I actually went through and logged the number of hours that I have spent from 2013 to now. And I have, and I can show that, I have actually spent over 700 hours in our schools. I have read to students. I have sat in classes where they are reading. I have observed what's going on. You don't make changes if you aren't a part of seeing what's actually happening in the schools. So if I can say that I have had a positive influence, it's by being visible, by having parents see me at functions after school, by being a part of what is going on. You just cannot fix something if you don't see it for yourself. And so I feel like that has been one of the biggest advantages to me. I think that most of the teachers know who I am. They wave at me. The kids know who I am, and that's important.
Okay, thank you. The next question has been submitted by Danny Niffen. And we'll start out with Greg. You get to take this one first. If you're elected, how would you balance a philosophy of transparency with the rules and regulations concerning the limitations of school board members to speak of issues brought up or addressed in closed session, especially given the popularity of social media?
Can I phone a friend? Let me give it a shot here, Danny. I think I know where you're going. We've got to watch. When the school board is in closed session, there's a lot of things that happen back there that are private, with private everybody's private lives and their professionalism. We got to make sure that those things can't get out. Okay? We don't need to know in the public some of the things that happen back there. And it's by design, that's the way it is. But there are things that happen in the school district that we all do need to know about. So I would say one of the things is, if you ever go to the website and look at the bills to be paid, you can scroll through there and see a lot of things that money is being spent on. A lot of people don't do that. You got to click on this and then scroll down, click on that. It's buried in that website. We need to get that stuff out in the front. If we're going to do that, then that's what we need to have out front so everybody knows. It needs to be easy to get to. And we need to be told that everybody knows what we're spending money on. Where's it going?
Okay. Marilyn, you're next.
Okay. Would you repeat the question, please?
I'd be happy to. You get to call a friend, too, by the way. If you're elected, how would you balance, in your case, if you're reelected, how would you balance a philosophy of transparency with the rules and regulations concerning the limitations of school board members to speak of issues brought up or addressed in closed session, especially given the popularity of social media?
Well, my answer is you cannot. It is the law that if something is discussed in closed session, that's where it stays. So the limitations are total. You do not discuss things that take place in closed session. Period.
Okay.
That's it.
Mark, you're next. Would you like me to reread that?
I pretty much got
it. You got it?
I would treat it as if I was in the position I am at my church. I'm an officer in my church. And things that officers and our deacons discuss, we do not tell anyone else, that, especially that's supposed to stay behind the closed doors. Also, even if it's my wife laying next to me at home and she wants to know bad, she always does. It's just some things that go on behind the doors of our officer at the church that we cannot tell. And that's That is not a law. That's how our bylaws in the church, and I'm one that sticks close to our bylaws.
Thank you, Mark. All right, Marilyn, you get to pass on this one as you submitted this one. So, Greg, we'll go to you next. What is the Navasota ISD doing about bullying in the schools?
That's a good question. It seems that over the past year and a half since I've been there, there's always the comment section right in the beginning of the school board meeting. And I tell you, about every third meeting or so, there's a parent up there that's discussing something about bullying. And they're upset. And it seems that the school board has turned a deaf ear to it. I don't see anything in print or anything like that. Now, they have done October, I think, was Bullying Awareness Month, and they all wear orange T-shirt. That's all fine, but we need to have some real-life things that we're going to step up and do to take care of this bullying situation. It needs to be a zero tolerance. I've heard of another event that or an incident that just happened recently. I don't want to talk about it, but it seems to be an ongoing problem here, and we need to be upfront with this. This needs to be at the forefront of what we're doing. We're never going to be able to educate these kids if they're being bullied at school. So we need everyone to step up as far as administration to and all the way through with the teachers and have a good policy that we're actually going to follow through on. That's the big thing, is following through on the bullying situation. Thanks.
Okay. Mark, you get to answer that next. I would be happy to. What is Navasota ISD doing about bullying in the schools?
Well, I haven't too much heard of any solutions, but I know that if I'm elected, I will work with board members along with administrators to help come up with some kind of program or some kind of organization where we can work with those kids and or either those the ones that are being bullied to find out what needs to be done. I remember back when I was in school, we had a program called Scare Straight. Maybe we need to go back to scaring some kids straight some kind of way, but we got to come up with a solution to figure out how to stop the bullying. And that's about the best answer I can give you.
Okay. All right, the next question was submitted by Greg Moat, so he gets a pass on this, and we'll start first with Marilyn. Do you agree or disagree, and why, that if you hire the right leaders at the top, that many of our problems can be solved?
Yes, I do. I think that there's no question that leadership begins at the top. I also think that there are other factors to be taken into consideration. The school board is responsible for hiring and firing only one person, and that is the superintendent. Now, the superintendent is charged with the responsibility of the rest of the people who work for him, with him, whatever term you want to use. But we must make sure that what is happening at the top has been communicated to all. The board doesn't always have all of the information when we make decisions. So that's a part of something that probably needs to be addressed to make sure that the communication is actually what is happening. But I do sincerely believe leadership is the key.
Thank you. Mark, I'll reread the question for you. Do you agree or disagree, and why, that if you hire the right leaders at the top, that many of our problems can be solved?
I agree. And I compare it as to the body. You know, without the your body cannot perform to its full potential if all its members are not functioning right. So if the head is not functioning, how can, in the right manner, how can we expect the rest of the body to function? If we're not thinking right, for one, with our mindset, that's the head, how is the rest of the body going to function? And I say this, if one fail, we all fail.
Okay. Do we want to go ahead with position 7 and these same set of questions since we finished that particular section? Yes? Okay. Y'all ready?
Sure.
We'll let Danny start with the first one, and y'all get the same questions that were asked of the first group. And you get to answer Jennifer Ramirez's question, who says, we are failing as a district. What specific actions have you taken to improve academics at NISD?
All righty. Thank you. As Marilyn said, we have already asked the superintendent to, or directed him to make sure that all pre-K through 3 classes are going to be 18-1. We would like to encourage that at grades 4th and 5th, but again, we've got to look at the budget with that. We have just recently done the reconfiguration of the younger schools so that all 3 will be pre-K through 5. Literature suggests that that is one of the best ways to do it. If you look at the literature, it actually says pre-K through 8 is the absolute best way to do it. I don't think we could have done that here the way the things are set up, but we're keeping those kids in the same school for a longer period of time allows the teachers that are there to know their students better. They don't have as much change, and they're able to do a lot better in their school. And so we think that's a huge deal. We've definitely got to work on trying to get more involvement of the parents and the community. It's been really a big emphasis this last year. I know some of the schools have done some phenomenal things with that, especially at Webb. I know they've done some really great after-school programs. We need to get that at every level. We need to get everybody as involved as possible so that these kids can do the best that they can.
Okay, thank you. Next is Jenny. You get Jennifer's question, who says, we're failing as a district. What specific actions would you take to improve academics at NISD?
One thing I would want to do is place more emphasis on early childhood education. A study was done that says by the time a child is 4 years old, they've heard 30 million from a low socioeconomic home, they've heard 30 million less words than a child from a higher economic home. That means when they start kindergarten, they are behind. And how can we expect a teacher to teach kids who aren't behind and kids who are behind and catch them up at the same time and then have them succeed? So one thing I would like to do, actually as the governor wants to do, is place more emphasis on the early childhood education. I think we need to do a better job at attracting quality teachers. I don't think we necessarily need to throw money at those teachers. I think that I've done some research and people say that finding teachers to come to district like ours, you have to emphasize that you're making a difference in a child's life. You're not going to come here to make money necessarily, but you're going to come here in order to make a difference. So I think that that's something that we need to do a better job of, is to recruit teachers based on that principle rather than the salary. I think it's important that we're building relationships with our students. We do need to emphasize on academics, but it's, I think, equally important that we're building relationships with the students as well. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Jennifer, since that was your question, we'll let you go first with the next one. And that was presented by Mark McGinney, who asked, the current school board is not reflective of Navasota's diverse community. As a result, many minority parents and students feel that their needs are not being met or represented. As a board member, how do you plan on bridging the gap and bringing a diverse staff into our schools?
I am diverse. I would like to start out by saying that I agree with Marilyn. I think one of the first steps that is in the right direction is hiring Amy Weatherwax as one of the principals of one of our elementary schools. I think that's a step in the right direction. As a parent, as a teacher, one of the things that I think we need to do better is welcoming parents into our schools. They need to feel comfortable coming into our schools, even coming into our school board meetings. I've been there several times, and it's kind of nervous for some people. It shouldn't be nervous. It should be all about business, but we should be welcoming people. We should be listening to what they say. So first of all, welcoming people. I already have several close relationships, having lived here forever. I have a lot of close relationships with families and also students. If you see me walking down the street and there's a festival going on, or you see me enter a school, a lot of times students will run up to me and give me hugs. So I have a lot of close relationships with our students already and those families. As a child, I also feel that they need to be seen, people of their race, in our schools. When children are growing up, they need to be seeing teachers of all colors, and males and females as well, and absolutely do a better job of hiring diverse teachers, not only hiring them, but keeping them. Our problem is we don't keep our good teachers.
Okay. Danny, you're next. I'll repeat the question for you. The current school board is not reflective of Navasota's diverse community. As a result, many minority parents and students feel that their needs are not being met or represented. As a board member, how do you plan on bridging the gap and bringing a diverse staff into our schools?
Well, as both Marilyn and Jennifer said, the first step happened the other day with the hiring of Amy Bay. I've known Amy for quite a while. She's really good friends with my wife. And it was one of the best things I've been able to do as a school board member is to say yes to that motion to hire her, because that, I think, is a fantastic hire for us as a district. The other thing I really like about it with Amy Bay is she is a Navasota person. I think we really need to do as much as we can to get those people that are from Navasota. They go off to college, they learn, let's bring them back. Get them into our school district. They already have the relationships that the other teachers that are new to the area would not have. And so we can get them in there. We've got really great things going with that, and I think that would be a great thing to do.
Okay. Jenny, you're next with that. Would you like me to reread it?
Please.
The current school board is not reflective of Navasota's diverse community. As a result, many minority parents and students feel that their needs are not being met or represented. As a board member, how do you plan on bridging this gap and bringing a diverse staff into our schools?
Well, as a board member, I would go out into the community to build relationships with people, with groups in this community that have never really had trust or relationships with the school district before. I think it's important that we're focusing on meeting the needs of all students. And in order to know what those needs are, we've got to be out in the community, not sitting behind a desk waiting for the input to come to us. We've got to go out and meet the people where they are. I think the other issue that I feel like in talking with people in my campaign so far, I feel that like there's a loss of trust within the district. And keeping teachers has been difficult because they've not been treated well. And so I think it's necessary that we're not only building trust in the community, but rebuilding trust within the school district. Thank you.
Okay. Next question, we'll start with Danny. This one comes from Jenny Fultz. In what three ways have you been a part of a positive solution to the district's problem?
Well, obviously, I've been on the school board now for 6 years, and I've tried to do everything that I can to the best of my ability to work for the kids of this district. I've also had several times that I've been asked to come talk to classes over the years, going a lot back to the college route of what it takes to get into college, what it's like to be in college. I've also gone to a couple of times where job fairs where I've talked about what it takes to be an athletic trainer for those that might be interested in that. And pardon me, I got to look at my notes again. It's so long ago. And I've always tried to be positive. When I'm out in public, I'm going to be positive about our schools. Privately, you know, when we're in our meetings and everything like that, yeah, we can talk about the negatives there, but trying to put out a positive message out there, because if we get a negative message out there, it's real easy to spread nowadays. People aren't going to want to come here anyway, because who wants to go to a place that everybody's always griping about every little thing that's done? So I try to keep a positive attitude towards our district.
Okay, and since this was Jenny's question, we'll skip her, and Jennifer, you get this one. I'll repeat it for you. In what three ways have you been a part of a positive solution to the district's problems?
Are you going to reword it because you reworded the other ones? You said if they...
No, I actually asked the question the same way for the other candidates.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, got it. I am absolutely a teacher advocate. So one of the ways is by listening to those teachers as well as those parents. I think part of our problem is we don't listen to our community. Not only the school board, not only our superintendent, but also sometimes our principals don't listen to our teachers. We need to listen to their thoughts and do something about it, act on those thoughts. Many times they've filled out different questions and questionnaires, but they don't always act on those. So it's actually listening and then doing something about that. I would also like to have more get-togethers, like some get-togethers where we're coming together as a community such as this, but of course with lots more people, but listening, talking to each other, feeling comfortable. There's a lot of solutions that I have in mind of different problems that I've seen, so I'm excited to share those ideas.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to Danny's question. Danny Niffen asked of the other candidates, and we'll start with Jenny. Jenny Fultz, that is, just so there's not any confusion.
No, she's Jennifer, I think. Sorry.
If you're elected, how would you balance a philosophy of transparency with the rules and regulations concerning the limitations of school board members to speak of issues brought up or addressed in closed session, especially given the popularity of social media?
I think the idea of transparency is important, and not in situations where there's a closed session necessarily, but just in the idea of an openness, a culture of being open and available and being honest, and not feeling like there's something that's being hidden. So when things might be going into closed session that don't necessarily have to be, that brings up trust issues for people, myself included. I think in regular board meetings, in just the regular portion of the board meetings, a way that we can help with transparency is by discussing the decisions that are being made. I think a lot of people, including myself, listening to decisions being made, I wonder why those decisions are being made. So I think one way, if I were elected, is to be a part of a discussion and asking questions and letting you know what's on my mind so that you're aware of why decisions are being made. Thank you.
Okay. I'll reread the question for you. Jennifer's answering this one. If you're elected, how would you balance a philosophy of transparency with the rules and regulations concerning the limitations of school board members to speak of issues brought up or addressed in closed session, especially given the popularity of social media?
I would agree with what Marilyn said. First and foremost, we have to follow the law. And so you cannot be talking about that. But one thing I would like to point out, that we need to be aware of what is happening in our community. Not all of our school board members have children that are attending schools, so they need to be looking at those things on social media to be seeing what's going on. And if y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Greg and I were the only two people that answered questions on one of the social media sites. Now, different people have their opinion on whether you should or should not answer, but the fact is that those people are putting concerns on there and asking questions, and that needs to get out. Our answers on how we feel about things need to get out. Now, having served on the board, I realize that the game changes. You absolutely cannot be sharing things that way. But I absolutely hope that school board members are reading those things and knowing what's going on.
Okay. Danny, you get to answer Marilyn's question, which is, what is Navasota ISD doing about bullying in the schools?
Okay. I've made some notes on that, so I need to put my cheaters on again. I know there's quite a few things going on. I know Jana Poole has been put in charge of a discipline committee that's at Webb. She's one of the Webb Elementary counselors. And if I remember right there on that deal, we may have a presentation on that Monday at our board meeting. But I know there's a committee that's my wife is part of and several others that are definitely looking at bullying. They're going to be using some of the counseling and RSVP grants money to start training some teachers. There's a cohort of teachers that will become what we call trainers of teachers, and that a lot of it's going to be a model based on what we call positive behavioral support. And they're going to look at a couple of things. They're looking at different names for the elementary parts of it, the different names for the secondary and everything, as well as the high school. And so we're looking at definitely doing something. It needs to be addressed, not only the bullying face-to-face, but also on social media. That is a huge thing. We have policies based on that, but we've got to make sure that those are enforced if something happens based on social media as well.
Okay. Jenny Fultz, you get to answer that question next. Again, this is from Marilyn. What is Navasota ISD doing about bullying in the schools?
Also, the program that Jana is in charge of at the Webb Elementary, the elementary campuses, Rachel's Challenge, I believe, is an annual event that's held at the high school stadium. And then I think those are the only two things that I know of. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's all that there is. That's just what I know. One thing I think we could do is bullies are bullies for a reason, and they're not just bad kids. So I think investing in those kids, as well as the kids who are being bullied, to determine why it is they're acting the way that they are acting out. And I think it's important to determine that reason, and then you can solve the bully problem when you're fixing the issue and not just putting Band-Aids on it. So.
Okay. Jennifer, you're next. What is Navasota ISD doing about bullying in the schools?
I've heard Danny and Jennifer both mention some programs that are being used. These are not new programs to Navasota. I've been gone from Navasota a year, and those programs have been going on. If those programs are not working, we need to be looking to see why they are not. We need to look at the data. I'd be anxious to find out how many referrals at Webb have been lessened. There's teachers in this room and that I talk to all the time that struggle with behavior problems and discipline problems, more importantly, with support from our office staff. So it's not only about finding a new great program. We go off to these other cities and states to find things, and oftentimes our answers are right here in Navasota, Texas. We need to be talking to people in our schools, talking to our teachers to find out what are their ideas. I also was on Jana's discipline committee as well. But we need to look at our data. If our data says those things are not working, we need to find something within ourselves that is working rather than go out looking all over the country. Let's look at our own community. I'm looking at my time. We also need to be open and honest that there is a bullying problem. I, like Greg, heard some things earlier, and it's disturbing. And if we keep turning a blind eye to problems that are going on, nothing will get better. So we need to do better as a community, but absolutely in our schools, on improving our bullying problems.
Okay. Thank you. And for the last question brought by the candidates to ask each other, we start with Jenny Fultz, and this one was brought by Greg Moak. Do you agree or disagree, and why, that if you hire the right leaders at the top, that many of our problems can be solved?
I agree. Just like in a business where you've got a product that you're putting out or a service, if it's not being done well, it's the responsibility of the leadership. Just in my business, if at the end of the day the product is not well or the service that my staff is giving, it's back to me. So I think I agree that some of our problems could be solved, but I don't think it solves all of our problems. I think we have problems in this district that have existed for some time and need to be addressed. And it's not within a certain time frame of a certain administration, but it does need to be looked at. And I also believe that accountability is important, and so making sure that we're holding leaders accountable to the expectations that we've set for them is important.
Okay. Next is Jennifer, and this again is a question brought by Greg Moak. Do you agree or disagree, and why, that if you hire the right leaders at the top, that many of our problems can be solved?
I absolutely agree that if we have the right leaders at the top, our problems can be solved. And I think that one of the problems we've had lately is that we rewarded our superintendent rather than look at the things that he's done, which may not have, shouldn't probably have been rewarded. We definitely need to hold him accountable, but the fact of the matter is, like they said earlier, our job is to make sure he's doing his job. So his job is to run all of our schools. If all of our schools are failing, that absolutely goes back to our leadership. So we definitely need to look into that, and it's like what Jennifer said, it's absolutely accountability. I have a problem sleeping at night knowing what happened to our teachers and staff at intermediate last year, but yet other people were not affected by that. And I realize that there's laws and things, but some of those people, I mean, the nurse, those kinds of jobs, that is absolutely unacceptable to get rid of an entire school when you didn't have to do that. And so I think that that's his fault, and I think it's all of the school board's fault, ultimately. And I do not know what goes on behind closed doors, but I am ready to be behind closed doors so I can see for myself what kind of discussions are being made, because I don't support getting rid of our own people.
Okay. Thank you. The last question goes to Danny, and this, of course, again, is one that was brought by Greg. Do you agree or disagree, and why, that if you hire the right leaders at the top, that many of our problems can be solved?
Oh, I hate to follow that one. Very good.
We all agree on that. We know that the leadership is extremely important, definitely at the superintendent position, and then the leadership that he hires. You know, we had Tim Seymour here for several years, and going through budget times that were really hard because of state funds, we did really, really well. Tim Seymour had a lot of great ideas. Unfortunately, he left, and we've got to try to find somebody just as good to replace him. And so, yes, the leadership is extremely important for us to have, and we've got to make sure that we have the right person at the top.
You're listening to a broadcast of last week's Navasota School Board Candidate Forum from Navasota City Hall, sponsored by the Navasota Grimes County Chamber of Commerce here on KWBC Navasota, Navasota News. When we return, we'll hear the candidates field questions from those in the audience. But first, these messages from some of the good folks whose ongoing support helps keep Navasota News here for you.